Happy Memorial Day. It is an amazing weekend. One of my favorite holidays is Memorial Day because, I love actually, we've celebrated it very specifically in my family. We always go to the Worthington Parade, and it's like a kid again, watching the jets that fly over or the helicopters. It's amazing. And so I love Memorial Day Parade, and I love watching some of the soldiers that have fought in past wars walk, you know, through that, and people that have fought in the Korean War and you know, some in Vietnam, and some of the men that have given their lives and in recent wars for the United States. And there's something about that. It actually makes me emotional. I appreciate that level of sacrifice and the time that they've spent. And so a lot of times when they walk by, I'll get emotional. And one of the things I love about how they do that is the confidence that they have when they walk by. Like, just the level of confidence they have because of, you know, their country and their time that they spent, and they're proud of what they've done and who they are and what it means. And I have, struggled and worked through confidence my entire life. I'm the kind of person who just, if you can fathom this, this is a stretch, but like, I'm the kind of person who just has naturally a little more confidence than the average Joel. A lot more. I'm just the kind of guy, and like, I used to get made fun of or teased because it was like, dude, you are cocky. I mean, like, just the way you walk, like, because like the Kovacs is kind of like walk around on their toes. And like, if you get around us, you know, like, and you might think, like, just by watching the way I walk, that like he thinks too highly of himself. He thinks he's cocky. And then when my wife has thought that, and other people have thought that, when we had little kids, you see that like our little kids walk around like that anyway. I'm like, see, they're just born that way, just confident, man, just that way. And one of the things I love is when people have confidence, and it's in the right place, because I have been the kind of person who has placed confidence. And when I think about confidence, just the definition, whatever comes to mind, just that rest of self, that I'm okay, and I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to make it, and that positive mental state that, like, you can make it through whatever comes your way. It's just a general idea of confidence, maybe a sense of a personal pride. And I have always been the kind of person that has struggled to make sure that I place my confidence in the right place, that I put who I am on something that really matters, as opposed to maybe a success or maybe a something that I know, something that I think. It's very easy to become prideful or boastful about things that you shouldn't put your confidence in. And I've had many, many stories throughout my life where I put my confidence in the wrong place. When I was in seminary, it was knowledge, you know, and a lot of us can do that. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up. And what that means is that it makes you feel a sense of security that's not accurate. You know, you feel a sense of who you are, that just because you know something, that doesn't make you better. But when you know something that other people don't know, it's natural for you to think, I'm better than them, see, because I have more information than they do. But we're not supposed to find our confidence in information, but a lot of us do. And I had times, there's one time when I was in a class, and I had already been to one school, so I was like the guy that already went to a school, and then I was with all the kids that were in their first round of school. That shows you how cocky I was. It's like, I was the same age as them, like, but I thought I was better than them because I had already been to school, and I knew something. And I'm sitting in this class, and like, the whole class disagreed with me about this one particular thing, and I stood up with my Bible, and I was like, no, the Bible says, and everyone was like, you're annoying. And then like the teacher tried to break up the fight, and I walked out of there, you know, on my toes, and everyone was like, oh boy, this guy, what a cocky jerk he is. And a girl from the class chase me down in the parking lot and tap me on the shoulder and turn me around and said, I just want to tell you. She went out of her way. I just want to tell you, you are a a-hole. You're a real a-hole. But she said the full thing. It was a Christian school. I was like, oh, wow. I was like, and I was so arrogant that I was like, so what? You're just saying that because you're wrong. I mean, that's where I was. I've had those moments where, like, you put your confidence in the wrong place. And a lot of us, like, have overconfidence because we put our confidence in maybe success or thinking or something that's outside of what real confidence should come from. And sometimes when we put our confidence in those same things, like knowledge, it can make us feel underconfident. It can make us feel that we're not valuable. So, oh, I don't know, so I'm not important. So it's just as easy enough to put your confidence in the wrong place and think too highly of yourself as to put your confidence in knowledge and think too little of yourself. And a lot of people walk through life thinking because of, you know, what the world has told them or something that they don't know or some skill they don't have as they compare themselves to other people, that I'm not valuable. And so now I walk through life thinking, I can't make it. I won't make it. I don't have what it takes to make it. And people watch you, man, hold your head up. Put your head up. You can do it. Where's your confidence? You can. You get confidence. And the reason is because you put your confidence in something that isn't designed to actually give you confidence. And so the journey that every one of us are on, I believe, and you may not know this, this might like narrow your path, is to find true confidence. The kind of confidence where you believe that you are loved, you believe that you are valuable, you believe that you have purpose, and therefore you don't live with the hyper arrogant kind of thinking too highly of yourself, and you don't live in the I'm, you know, not enough or all this stuff. And there's, you know, lots of different quotes about confidence. You know, it's like true humility, what that really is. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. And so it's this idea that, like, as you gain the strength of who you are, you start to focus on your purpose in life, and then you have you have the ability to move forward with that purpose because you have a strength that comes from somewhere that's tough to shake and rattle. And I want everyone to have that confidence. And if you're in the room or you're watching online, then you know that that confidence, that sense of peace and self and purpose. Yesterday I was, you know, cutting the grass. I was thinking about purpose. And I was like, you know, a lot of people don't think they have purpose in life. And so they have no confidence. And this is just the way my mind thinks. So when I cut the grass, I have a riding lawnmower, a push mower, and a weed whacker. And when I was pushing the lawnmower, I only use it for literally like 10% of the time that I use the riding mower. But I'm weird. Like, I have this thing that, like, everything is alive. So I'm like, I'm so glad my push mower doesn't have to sit in the garage the whole time and never get used. So I'm like, here you go, buddy. Prime you up. Quack, 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 quack. You have purpose. You're going to get the edges and get the places that the big green monster can't. Listen, some people believe they're just like this object that sits in the garage and there's no reason for you. When you don't believe there's a reason for you, you lack confidence. But when you see you have a purpose, it may not be the same as someone else's purpose, but you're designed to cut the edges and you can do it better than anybody else. You have a reason for existing. And when you find that confidence, you find that purpose, then it's an amazing thing. And every single one of us that are in here, you want to find confidence. You will find it in your purpose. You will find it in the way that you function. And you will find it in one place. And the scriptures say this. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That is a scripture that is about how you find your confidence. You trust in God with all of your heart, all of your emotion. What you feel? I'm trusting God. Am I happy? I'm trusting God. Am I sad? I'm trusting God. What does God say about me? How should I feel? And then I'm trusting God with all of my mind. I'm leaning not on what they say or what they think, or more importantly, what I think, but what God says. Because God has purpose for you, and he has this like place for you. When you see it and you see how wonderful it is, you will find confidence. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, what you think and what you feel, but what God says. And when you find that, you'll find confidence. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make you successful. He'll make your path straight. So every one of us are in here today going like, what do I have in my life that truly brings me that kind of peace? That truly brings me that kind of confidence? And if you were honest, and this is what I want you to do today, I want you to take an inventory of what makes you confident. What makes you confident? Just think right now. You can write it down. Money, relationship, sex, gifts, maybe some physical ability, maybe your brain, your how smart you are. Maybe some past family that you grew up in that gives you, you know, anything can happen, but I come from this family and we were them over there, and I'm not them and we're better than them. What is it that you actually like, that you, when things rattle, when things go crazy, you find that sense of, I'm going to be okay because fill in the blank. What do you say after that? I'll be okay because of. You fill in that next sentence, that is where you place your confidence. I'm going to be okay because we have $500,000 in the bank. I'm going to be okay because I'm really good at my job. I'm going to be okay because of that kid. I'm going to be okay because you fill in the blank. That's where you find your confidence. And what I want to share with you today is that the true confidence that is above all other things, that can only affect you in a positive way, that you want and that I want, that we're here seeking, trying to find our purpose, trying to find our confidence. I exist for a reason. I feel like healthy and happy and I feel safe. It only comes from Christ. True confidence only comes from Christ. Everybody say that with me. True. This is literally like, we are not going to walk out of here today and have this all figured out. But when I talk about knowing one thing, you have to start to work towards understanding how your experience on earth, what you think and what you feel about you, is affected by Christ. When it is, you will experience a totally different type of life. And all of this started in Genesis chapter 3. The first story of people is a story of all people. It's a story of you. It's a story of me. Everyone in this room, this story applies to. And what you may not know, if you didn't grow up in the church, is that the story of the first humans that God created, the scriptures say, first of all, it was written by a guy named Moses. Moses is a guy you might have heard of who led the Israelites out of slavery. He went back then and wrote this book, and he's telling the story as it's been told over, you know, a long time. He's heard it, and then he writes it down in this actually poetic fashion, the book of Genesis, which is one of the most story-saturated books in the Bible, has the most narrative. But in the first 3 or 4 chapters, it's the first human beings that God created. He created the earth. He created the water, he created the sun, and theologically what this looks like is this thing called common grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Every single person in this room, you woke up today in the grace of God. What that means is you got something today that you don't deserve. Life. The sun, the breath, and this earth. God if you stop for a second, people struggle with, well, how did certain armies and certain people die in the Old Testament? And how come God didn't give them grace? You step back and go, wait a minute. If you believe that God gave you life, you already will cower back and go, wow, God has given me so much more than I deserve. And so when the first people were created in this common grace space where they have all this goodness, then God zooms in on them and gives them even more, gives them purpose and ground to work and a home, a place called Eden, and he gives them all these different jobs and responsibilities, and Adam gets to name things and have authority, and the scriptures say that he has dominion, and God gives him specific things, and then he gives them a relationship with him. God and Adam and Eve live and walk and breathe and spend time together in relationship, and what we see in the text is that because they lived with God in this specific grace-oriented environment, they were not afraid. They were not afraid. They had no shame. They had no guilt. In other words, they felt confident. They had purpose. They had peace. They had a direction. They had life together with God. And God told them, don't do one thing. Don't do one thing. And when they do that one thing, as we'll look in Genesis chapter 3, we see that in that moment, their confidence goes away. Their confidence goes away. And so if you're in the room and you don't have confidence, you don't have peace, you don't have that sense of purpose in your life, you don't have that God loves me and made me and has something for me and I'm all good, and the answer to the question or the fill in the blank is, no matter what happens, I'll be okay because of God. If it's not because of God, if it's not because of Christ, you have this confidence in other things, what happens is as soon as they sin, their confidence gets compromised. And they have to try to figure out how to get confidence back. And so as soon as they do the one thing God told them not to eat, do is to eat this tree, eat this fruit from this tree, that they decide to do it, and then this is what happens in Genesis chapter 3. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. Now, you're going, wait a minute, like, realizing you're naked. You understand, here's the deal. They, for some reason, God, when they were put into the garden, and lots of different teachers teach this, they had some type of covering where they couldn't see their naked bodies. They didn't see it. They were covered. There was like an aura. There were like some type of clothing, something. And as soon as they do the one thing God told them not to do, suddenly they see they're naked. And what that means is, because this is, again, written in a poetic language by Moses, is that they realized something was wrong. Something had happened. Something changed. And as soon as they did and they saw that which they saw of themselves, which they couldn't see before, it made them afraid. It made them freak out. It made them do some crazy things. And this is what it says they did. So the first thing they do when they realize that they're naked because they were covered is they go and they try to cover themselves. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So immediately after they sin, just get the narrative. They're fine, they're covered, they can't see their nakedness. They do the one thing that God tells them not to do. Immediately, they see nakedness. And they're like, oh, and they go and they make other fig leaves for clothing. Okay, so the first thing they do is they cover themselves with leaves. Then they do this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it says this, and they hid. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So get the picture. As soon as I sin, I cover myself because I'm covering that which now looks like something's wrong. And then I'm not just covering myself in new clothing, I'm actually running away from God and hiding behind the trees. Get the picture? I'm hiding behind the trees, behind the leaves of the clothes that I just made for myself. So here I am. I am hiding from God. I'm making my own covering, I'm making my own clothes, and I'm running from God. Here's what you learn from this. As soon as they sinned, they lost their confidence. As soon as they sinned, they lost their well-placed pride in their relationship with God and who they were. Something went dramatically wrong. And as soon, you have to get this picture, as soon as they sin, what do? They cover themselves. They cover their bodies with clothes made out of leaves, and they cover themselves from God. This is what you have to understand. Confidence comes from covering. Confidence will come from covering. You know something's wrong? I mean, the reason that we, like, go and shop and put on clothes is because most of us don't want to walk around naked. Most of us shouldn't. Some more than others. And those that are confident walking around naked, really you're just confident in your physical body, which is still not enough for you to be confident with. I'm sorry, just telling you. I mean, look, I'm not ashamed to say that I love clothes. Let me just say that again. I love clothes. Can I get a woo woo? No, anyone? Anyone else love clothes? I literally believe that there's one thing different than Eden, it's Easton. I love clothes, and I love watching people, and you'll see me, if you want to see me proud, having new clothes, just watch me on a Sunday morning. Most of the time I'm wearing something new, and I'm like, oh yeah, you like my shirt? It makes me feel proud. It makes me feel like, I love watching someone get new clothes, and they walk on, what do? They walk out. Check me out. Selfie of the new shirt. Why? Because nakedness, we hide. But what makes someone capable of walking around? Clothes. What makes someone prideful? What makes someone, when they get married and they wear that dress, it's the best they've ever been covered. When they get their new clothes, it's the best. They get their new jeans, it's the best. I wouldn't show you what's under here, but I'll show you what I'm going to put over it and work on what's under. That's the picture. Do you understand? Whenever you see someone who feels good about what they're wearing, it's a spiritual picture of how all of us shouldn't feel comfortable unless we're covered. But here's the deal. We oftentimes cover ourselves with something that won't bring us true confidence. And it's just a picture. This is every one of us. Adam and Eve, they see something's wrong. You in your heart, you know something's wrong. And so what you do, most of us, is we try to cover ourselves with things that we shouldn't. And if we're honest, if we believe that God is holy and good, then there's a lie that we've believed that when we do something wrong and we realize we're sinful and we're broken or we're naked, we cover ourselves with things that actually don't cover us, and then we run and hide from God because we think that God isn't proud of us and would want nothing to do with us. Some of you haven't been coming to church. Some of your friends won't come to the church because they think and believe in their heart, I am so bad and so sinful, God could never, ever want anything to do with me. The reason why is you see your nakedness, and the thing about the picture of Adam and Eve is they cover themselves with fig leaves. They right away cover their sin with their own fig leaves. When God comes walking in the cool of the day, it doesn't make them feel confident enough to stand before God. They still run and hide. So what this means is that you and me, we're going to cover ourselves with things we shouldn't cover ourselves with, and it will never be good enough to give us God-based confidence. So here's what God does. The beautiful part is no matter what you've done, no matter how bad it is, that God, in the midst of your sin, in the midst of you trying to fix your own sin problem with your figs, he comes walking through the garden saying, hello, I still want to be with you. This is the part about the local church, about God, that most of us have gotten wrong. For some reason, when someone is in sin, our gut reaction is, I'm better than them. I don't want to be associated with them. I don't want to be next to them. I don't want to help them. What if our posture towards sinful people was the same way God's posture is towards sinful people? How about this way? God's posture towards us. They move closer. God goes, where are you? I want to be next to you. Yeah, I see that you got the wrong clothes on. It's not fixing the problem, but I still want to be with you because I love you. So then what God does is he draws near to them. They're covered in figs, which it's hilarious that they use figs because figs don't really cover anything. They're this big flimsy leaf that even if you like weave it all together, it's going to fall off. So it's kind of a joke. They make these clothes like little kids making fake costumes. Then God comes walking. They run behind the trees. And God's like, hey, please come here. You don't need to be afraid. I know what's going on. I am here to help you. And then God helps them and says this. Then the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Wait a minute. Think about the interaction. We got our clothes. Hey, where are you? Come on out here. Come on out here. Okay. What are you guys wearing? We're wearing fig leaves. You need to wear something else. Why? Because that's not good enough. What you put on yourself to give yourself confidence in the midst of your sin will never be good enough. So God goes, you put on those fig leaves. Those fig leaves aren't going to work. You see, confidence comes from covering. I have to cover you up with something else. So this is the first picture of Jesus on the cross. They cover themselves up with fig leaves, and God goes, oh, just what you're wearing is just not going to work. Sorry, that's like my best dress. It's not going to work. We got to make a change here. He literally does a makeover. Isn't that so cool that the first like makeover was in Genesis chapter 3? I mean, you understand what the word like cosmetology means, like when you put on cosmetics, it's the idea of a makeover. It's, oh, this is a problem. We need to add some order. The word cosmos means order, the order. We need to add some order. You look bad. That green does not look good with your eyes, Eve. It is bad. Adam, don't get me started on that shirt. It's just not your thing. And he's like, that's not going to work. That will never work. So God goes, take that off. And the picture is that he goes over and gets an animal, that an animal dies somehow. He takes the skin from an animal. That means blood falls on the ground. And the skin of the animal is appropriate for covering them. It's the picture of Jesus. The only thing that can cover you is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your confidence comes from Christ. True confidence comes from what God gives you to cover up with, not what you cover up with. You will never find a sense of purpose. You will never rest in who you are until who you are is defined by what Christ has done for you. Because every single one of us is the sin-ridden individual roaming through the desert looking for things to cover up and find confidence. So the question again is, what do you cover up with? Do you genuinely, in your heart, believe that you find your peace not from the figs, not from your successes, not from what someone thinks of you, not from what someone said about you, not from your abilities or your strengths, not from the relationships that you're in, not from the money in the bank, not from your family? You will never truly find any true confidence from those things. The things you cover up with other than life are figs. They are They're not designed to give you confidence. They're not designed to fix your relationship with God. They're not designed to give you peace. They never fully will. Figs won't last. So the question is if you hang your confidence on something other than Christ, what are you going to do when that thing goes away? Because it will. Every single thing that you cover up with besides Christ is temporary. The money, the skills, the success, the relationship, the college admission, it's all temporary. All of it will go away. And so you have to decide to fix your eyes on something that's permanent, on fix your eyes on something that will give you true confidence, and I promise you that it only comes from Christ. And so today, I want to give you an opportunity to place your faith in the gift of Jesus Christ, the death on the cross. And you see, the idea of his blood covering you is this wonderful truth that because of sin, you see, the Bible says that the wages of sin, or what you should earn because of sin, is death. And so that means that all of us should pay death. But the gift of Jesus Christ on the cross is he said, I'll pay the penalty for you. Your blood should shed, but it won't. My blood will shed. So that's why when the lamb, this animal that its skin got taken away, blood is getting shed. Because what God is trying to teach is, in order to cover you, something has to die. It should be you, but I'll do it instead. That's the gospel message. I will cover your sin so we can have a relationship, so you can be healed, so you can have confidence. True confidence. It comes from Christ. You see, the truth about God is that you, on your own, with your figs, will never be holy enough to be around God. And God is so holy and perfect and good and wonderful and pure that you are not allowed in his presence. You alone and God alone can never be together. There is one man, one mediator between God and man, Jesus. Jesus grabs you around the shoulder, grabs God, says, now we're coming together. There's a brokenness here. I've paid it. And so you do not live in a world when you have Christ where God sees your brokenness, where God sees your figs. He sees the death and love of his son and has included you with his son in his family. This is the beginning of confidence. To know that who I am to God is the same thing that Jesus is to God. That's the beginning of knowing no matter what, no matter what I go through, no matter what happens, I'm okay because Christ. Confidence. And so I want to invite you today to place your faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. So I'm going to just say a prayer. And I want to just challenge you guys, everyone in the room, if you're new, before I say this prayer, I want to give you something helpful. If your confidence is in some stuff, it's in some money, it's in some success, I want you to test me on what brings a higher level of confidence. I want you to move your confidence from some stuff and some success to a relationship. The stuff will go away. It's figs. But there might be someone in your life, and if you start to see the world the way God wants you to see the world, he sees it through the lens of relationship. If you place your faith and your kind of trust and your confidence in a relationship, what you will get is a better example of what can bring a brand of confidence that lasts longer than the stuff. But even relationships are figs. They're not meant to give you truth. So if you're in here and you don't believe in Jesus, just take a step towards Jesus by placing your confidence in someone, not something. And if you want to trust Christ, then you will experience true confidence because it never goes away. It's not a fig. It's Jesus. So I want to give you guys an opportunity to place your faith in Jesus Christ and find true confidence. And I want you to view it like hooks on the wall that you hang your clothes on. You might have one over here to the left. You hang your clothes on it, and if you have a belt on it, and if it's just in drywall, if you yank on it, it comes out of the wall. You might have two hooks in the middle that are in wood studs that, like, after a while, they go bad. But then you have one all the way to the right that is a hook that is in a metal stud that will never go away. That is putting your confidence in Christ. And you can hang your confidence and your belief in who you are on all these other things. And the furthest to the right, aside from Jesus, is a relationship that might last for a long time. But even that will give way. And you have to move yourself closer to the true confidence that can only come from Christ. And so I'm going to give some of you a way to move from the kind of the bad hook to a middle hook, and from the middle hook to the only hook, the hook Jesus. So I'm going to lead you through a prayer. If you guys would just bow your heads and close your eyes, like, you just want this to be a moment between you and God, and that's it. Would you just say this prayer to yourself if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you've never placed your faith in him and what he did on the cross? I want you to say this to yourself in belief in your chest. Just say, God, today I choose you. I'm done putting my confidence in figs and stuff and relationships. I'm done with it. Those will fail. You will not. I'm trusting you today. Please forgive me of my sins. I accept your gift on the cross as the payment for my sins. And I want to have an eternal relationship with you starting today. And if you're in the room and you've placed your faith, you've said that prayer before, would you just take a minute to just acknowledge the fact that even though you've placed your faith in Christ for eternity, you are constantly finding your confidence in figs. Constantly. Your job, your success, what people think of you. And would you just confess that to God right now? Just confession means to agree upon or say the same thing. God is speaking to you and saying, hey, that thing that you're placing your confidence on, that's not what it's supposed to be on. What he wants you to do is to agree with him. Yes, I agree. That is not your intention for me. Would you just agree with God on the things that you're finding your confidence in that you should not? And just say to God, God, this thing is not okay. And it's exactly what Joel is saying. I keep on resting in it and trying to find my confidence in it, and it never works. Would you remind me every single day that the reason I can have confidence is from your covering, not mine? It's from what you did for me, not what I can do for me. It's from what you gave me that lasts forever, not what I can do that is temporary. And just confess that to him. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you said that first prayer with me, if you asked God for the first time to be your Savior, you placed your trust in him, would you raise your hand? Just show me real quick. Just lift it up and then put it back down. If anybody prayed that prayer, there's one. I saw one. If there's anyone else in here, at the last service, there was like 25 people who raised their hand. Is there anybody else who said that prayer for the first time? There's someone in the back. I see you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else who wants to join them? Anyone else? What if you said that second prayer? If you just said that prayer about the fig leaves, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Thank you. All you guys, I know. So me too. I did it too. Finding my confidence in the wrong things. God, we love you. Thank you for giving us a covering that brings confidence. Help us to trust in you. With all of our heart, with all of our mind. We love you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey.